opportunity, you know, to continue in name, you know, in terms of presenting the word of God. And I want to bless him for the opportunity, you know, to stand before us this morning, you know, to present the word of God. I want to sing a song, and I believe every one of us will know the song. I would like us to sing after me. The song that say, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, is so good to me. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, is so good to me. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we bless you this morning, we lift you high. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, for opportunity to be in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, for all that he has done for us and the price he paid for us to be here this morning. And, Lord, we just lift you high and we open our hearts unto you. We pray, Lord, that you minister to us in your word this morning. Lord, I empty myself as a vessel. And I pray, Lord, that you feed me from above and let your children hear the truth in your word this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to be speaking about goodness, the fruit of spirit. The fruit of the spirit. But I would like to define first the word good. You know, before going into the word goodness, according to King James Passion Commentary Bible, good is defined as a very fertile word which many use in everyday English. Good is used as a noun, it's used as adjective and adverb, and is the root of the word goodness. The word good means the common idea in almost of all its uses. It suggests a desirable quality, something commendable, something reliable, something welcoming. The word good means something enjoyable, something beneficent, something kind, something noble. The word good means something admirable, something propitious, exemplary, and very much welcome. While the word goodness means the inner quality of virtue, excellence, character, morality, and attitude that we see in a person's behavior. I would like to teach you a Greek word for goodness, and I would like us to repeat after me this morning. Can we see it? Fantastic. Sorry about that. I want us to repeat that word after me. Agathison. Agathoson. Yeah, let's say it one more time. Agathoson. Yes, I've once lived in Greek society. The word agathoson is the widest word to describe goodness. It defines goodness as virtue equipped at every point. However, a closer examination of it is used in the scripture reveals a word indicating zealous activities in doing good. The word agathosun means to be active, even aggressive in goodness. It means being soft, being tender, either in temper or behavior. I would like us to look closely at goodness as it applied to God, as it applied to Jesus Christ, and as it applies to man. Amen. Yes, we're going to look goodness as it's applied to God this morning. Goodness is founded upon God's eternal essence. Goodness is found upon God's eternal purpose. This morning, I just want to bring our memory back. History will never forget people like Pharaoh. History will never forget people like Hitler. History will never forget people like the president of Yugoslavia, Slobodan Milosevic. I believe this morning that history will always remember Saddam Hussein. You know, Saddam Hussein is just current in the things that is happening. History will never forget the Liberian president, Charles Taylor. And these are the individuals that God promoted to be kings. God made them to be small gods over their nations, but they used their bad attitude, the authority and power that was given them to terrorize their fellow men, you know, the citizens around them and nations around them. The revelation in the book of Genesis tells us why God created the heaven and earth. It is because He is a good God. God created the heaven and earth because He is a good God. I would like to read from the book of Genesis, chapter 1. If you can turn with me to the book of Genesis, I would like to read a couple of verses there before I continue. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. I would like to start from verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. I'm reading from NIV. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning. Verse 9 said, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered water He called sea. And God saw that it was good. If you continue in that chapter, I don't want us to take off. If you continue in that chapter, you will see, the reason why God created the heaven and earth. First, God created the heaven and earth because He is a good God. He have good desire. You know, like you and I, you know, we have good desire in life. We want to be this or we want to be that. But in terms of our living God, He created the heaven and earth because He have good desire. And when you go through the account of Genesis chapter 1, you will see that because He's a good God, a bad person cannot do a good thing, isn't he? It's very hard. We see what is happening in our world these days. But because God is a good God, and the purpose of creating the heaven and earth is because He is a good God, and that is why God created the heaven and earth. What I'm saying is this: goodness is found upon God's eternal essence. His being, God's being, is good. I mean, the power of God is lying in doing good. He can't do evil. I mean, it's difficult to find evil in God. He always a good God, and the Bible confirmed that. So, and what I'm saying is that God is good, and the goodness is found upon God's eternal essence. Goodness is found upon God's eternal purpose. Often, when the Bible is talking about bad attitude, which is the opposite of good attitude, Bible always refers to it as evil or act of wickedness. But on the side of our God is a good God. And that is, I mean, what we see in His character here is that because He's good, you know, He created heaven and earth. The Bible said in the book of, I just want us to see, you know, the Bible tells us the nature and character of God in the book of Psalms. I'm sorry, just pardon me. No. Amen. Please pardon me. We get there. I'm supposed to clap, organize like this. Amen. God is good. The book of Psalms tells us about the characteristic of God. It said, "Taste and see that our Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." You and I, we can say this morning that God is good. Psalm 100 verse 5 said, "For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through generation." And this is my lovely verse. Matthew 5:45. It says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, because He is a good God. Amen. We never see any account in the Bible where God pay people with evil, because it's always a good God. And that is why, you know, He causes His sun to shine upon the wicked one and causes His rain to come upon them. This morning, I believe you and me were created by God, and that God didn't create you because He was bored, you know, and He needed a project. He didn't create you because He was bored and He needed a project. It's not that He needed a companion. Because it's lonely. But this morning, God created you out of love so that you and I can enjoy His goodness. And that is what I want us to have in mind this morning. He created the heaven and earth, and He created you and me so that we can enjoy His goodness. And if God is your creator and is my creator, God wants us to produce a good fruit. That is the application this morning. God wants you and me to produce a good fruit. Jesus Christ tells us in the book of Matthew that we should be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. If you are from God and I'm from God, you understand? I mean, the point is that, you know, we should be like Him. As He is good, we should try, you know, to be good and produce good fruit. And I pray God will help us this morning. Yes, we're going to continue. How does goodness apply to our Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. Goodness, how does it apply to our Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ exemplified goodness while he was on earth. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ's ministry when he was on earth, how he went about doing good. There are lots of accounts in the Bible about the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ healed the sick when he was on earth. Jesus Christ, he fed the hungry when he was on earth. He provided water for the thirsty. He opened the eyes of the blind. We know all those stories in the Bible. Jesus Christ made the lame to walk. He made the deaf to hear. Jesus Christ made the dumb to speak. He saved the dying and raised the dead. We know the account of the Lazarus in the book of John chapter 11, isn't it? That Jesus Christ raised the dead there. Yet, when this guy approached him as a good teacher in the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 18, Jesus told him of that there is no good person except God alone. According to that Mark chapter 10, Jesus Christ told that guy off that there is no good person. Jesus said, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone." Jesus said, "He's not good. I mean, he's not a good person." That the guy should stop calling him good person. What Jesus is telling us in this verse is that because he's the Son of God in the flesh of man, therefore he is a son of man. Obviously, he's not a good person. Amen. There's not a good person here on earth. It's only God that is good. That is what the Bible is telling us. I mean, like the account of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, who can we compare with him? He healed the sick, you know. Somebody who cannot speak, you know, he lays hand on them or, you know, perform miracle in their life, then they can speak. The dead person, he raised him up. But yet, they come to him and say, good master. He said, no, I'm not good. Because of what? Because it's in the flesh of man, because it's a man. And that is why Jesus Christ described himself that he's not good. The account continue in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It's recorded. The book of Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It said, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we are still sinners, Christ died for us." And also in the book of John 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, for his friends, for his children. But yet, Jesus said, I'm not good." Can you imagine that? I'm trying to let us understand what goodness is all about. Jesus said, he is not good, that it's only God that is good. Amen. You and I, we are saved, not because we are good. Otherwise, people who run charity could have been best candidate for the heaven. Do we hear that? The reason why you are here this morning, the reason why I'm here this morning, is not because I am good. It's not because I'm perfect. It's not because I'm righteous. It's because of the grace of God. It's because of the goodness of God in our life. Like I said, here in Britain, we've got lots of charity organizations. My wife works in a charity organization. Amen. And those ones could have been the best candidates. Assuming God is gonna rate us, or probably maybe judge us according to our good work, you know, or probably maybe, you know, we can earn the kingdom of God through our good work. The people who run charity could have been the best people and best candidate for the kingdom of God. But that's not the point. The point is that, you know, God is expecting more than that from us. And that is why Jesus Christ is trying to teach us. He knows that what he was doing was good, but yet he's telling people that no, there's no good person here on earth. It's only the Father on the throne that is good. And that is why I took us to to the account in the book of Genesis. And when you go from the book of Genesis to Revelation, you always see that God is good. Amen. It continued. Moreover, Jesus Christ taught us, showed us, and demonstrated the life of obedience to the Father. He said according to the book of John chapter 4, that his food was to complete Father's task. You remember that story when, at the well with the Samaritan woman, Jesus Christ, his desire, his attitude towards the work of Father, it's more important to him than food and any other thing. And Jesus Christ said his food, in that chapter, is to complete the task of the Father. This is what makes Jesus Christ a good son of God. Amen. What I'm trying to bring out is this. Obedience to the service of God. Obedience to the call of God. Obedience to the will of God in our life is what makes us good. Amen. It's not because I'm coming to church. It's not because I'm putting up shares every morning. It's not because I'm setting up or I'm playing drum or I'm playing guitar. No. Obedience to what Jesus, God said, many will come on that day and I will just tell them off that I don't know them. Many will say, we raised dead, we preach in your name. Amen. Many we said many things that we took nation because of you. We fought war for your name. And we said, I don't know them. But what will make us good this morning, how you and I can produce good fruit this morning is by obeying God. And that is what Jesus Christ was demonstrated when he came to the earth. He did all those good things. He even went to the point of dying on the cross, but he said, I'm not good. But the point is that obedience to the call of Father is what will make us good. And I pray God will help us this morning. And because Jesus Christ did all this, then we can say he's a good son of God. That is what makes him obedient to the Father. It's what makes him son of God. The Bible says God has promoted him. God has exalted him. His name is more than any other name on earth. And that is what makes him a good son of man. And that is what makes him a good son of God. And that is what makes him our great high priest today. And all that is because of the results of the goodness, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in his life. And the last point that I would like us to see this morning before I hand over is, how does goodness apply to man? Amen. How does goodness apply to man? God wants you and me to manifest goodness in our relationship with him and with one another. I would like to read for us from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. If you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. Galatians chapter 5, I will read from verse 19 to 22. The acts of the sinful nature were obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And the reason why I read this chapter this morning, a couple of weeks back, Paul had been coming here, to teach us about the the gift of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Yeah. And a lot of people have been coming up here to teach us about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But I just want, the reason why I read that chapter is for us to understand the distinction between those two. The gift of the Holy Spirit that Paul has been teaching us about for the past week, you know, God is the giver. You can't give yourself gift of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose why God give the gift of the Holy Spirit is for us, is to edify us, to equip us, to be able to do His service. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit that people have been coming up, you know, to teach us about, God is expecting it from you. And that is the reason why Paul stated in verse 19 before verse 22 that he stated the act of the flesh, that it's possible you may be producing all these fruits, but at the same time, you've got the will, you've got the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And that is why he warned us. It's possible. We've got will, and that is what makes us to be different from any other creation. God has given you will. I may go out there and just do whatever I like. It's what I mean. You have no power. Even look at what is happening in our society now. Even as parents, we've got limited power over our children these days, isn't it? Otherwise, they will shout on the social service to come and take him away or take her away. But the point is that God has given you and I way, and, you know, it's possible we might produce the fruit of the Spirit. It's possible we might neglect it and just go to verse 19 and be doing what the Bible said we shouldn't be doing. And the Bible said, the Bible warned us not to do that. Right from the book of Genesis, after men fell, since then man have found it difficult to do good. You know, man found it very, very difficult to please God. Man found it very, very difficult to connect himself back to God. And that's the reason why, you know, we need God this morning. I would like to read from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus Christ told us about the importance of the Word of God. Matthew 13. I'm going to read from verse 18, you know, to 23. Jesus tells us about the parable of the sower, which is the Word of God, is illustrating the Word of God there. He said, he has said the parable in the previous verses, but now he's giving the meaning here. He said, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the devil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth shook it, making it unfruitful. Verse 23, the last verse said, but the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understand it. It produces a crop yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Here Jesus Christ was telling us the importance of the word of God. If we are going to obey God, we need to do what? Take his word on board. There's nothing you can obey about God without reading his word. God is, I mean, the word of God is God. The Bible said God exalted his name. I mean, God exalted his word more than his name. He respected his word more than his name. Therefore, if you and me, if we are going to obey God this morning, that means the way we can obey the word of, the way we can obey God is to take the word of God on board. You know the mistake Adam and Eve made? They neglected the word of God. The word of God is God himself, and the mistake they made in those days in the account of Genesis was that they neglected the instruction that God has given to them. And how can they be good? The Bible says after their fail, everything just went out of their hands. You know the statement there, God is so faithful. He said, don't eat it. The day you eat it, you will recognize both good and evil. And guess what? You will recognize both things, but you won't have power to do good anymore. Amen. That what you will be doing will be evil. And immediately after the affair, the following chapter, their children started killing each other. Amen. So, but what I'm saying is this: for us to obey God, for us to produce good spirit, good fruit, or for us to produce goodness, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we need to obey the word of God. I do struggle a lot. We are human beings. I've got my own weakness. You've got yours. You don't know where my struggle is. But every one of us, we've got our own weaknesses. And God is there to help us this morning. I would like to use this as an illustration. I got this kit a couple of weeks back. And do you see this tiny kit in my hands? I can communicate, all over the world. I can call anywhere in the world. Be Japan, be America, be Australia. This small, tiny stuff in me. I don't know. It's only when I'm on underground I cannot, the system is not yet there. But the point is this, for me to operate this kit successfully, I need to go back into this, which is the manual. And the same thing applies to us as a Christian. God has given us his manual, which is the word of God, which is what I'm holding here. And for us to obey him, we need to go back to the manual, the purpose why he created you, the purpose why he created the heaven and earth, and for us to do according to his will. And if you and I can do that, I believe success is ours in Jesus' name. Often the Bible compares our Christian walk to be a fruitful tree. I love this psalm. Just pardon me with this. It said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners. Like I said earlier in my talk, I said, whenever God wants to talk about bad attitude or bad behavior, Bible never said bad attitude. He called it wickedness or act of evil. And that is what the Bible said. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. But his delight is in the law of the law. The law of God is the word of God. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by a stream of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prosper. For you and I to be prosper, for you and I to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is, goodness, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we need the word of God. It's not a matter of saying good things about your neighbor that matter. It's not about going, taking your stuff to the charity shop that is matter. No. Like I said, the people who are having charity organization raising funds, or going to Asia, or traveling to to all over the world. Could I have been the best candidate for the kingdom? No, it's not about our work. You know, the Bible says no one should boast about his work, but it's about doing the will of God. That is when you and I will be good. Understand? And that is why we'll be fruitful. This psalm also said, yes, I love this one too. This is what I normally read before I get married. I'm sorry about that. It says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his way. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessing and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Does the man bless who fear the Lord? I mean, what I'm trying to illustrate here is that often the Bible compares our work, our Christian life, to a fruitful tree. When you go into the narration in the book of John chapter 15, Jesus Christ said there, without me, you can't do anything. But the illustration he was using there is a vineyard and the branches, isn't it? And when you go through the word of God, often the Bible compares our Christian work to a fruitful tree. There's a story in the book of Matthew whereby Jesus Christ was expecting a fruit on an olive tree, and because it didn't produce fruit at that season, the Bible says Jesus cursed that tree and it withered. So what I'm saying in the nutshell, Bible compares our Christian work with him. You know, for us to be fruitful, we've got to obey him. Do you see that? He said, blessed are, if you fear God, you obey God. There's no way two can work together without they agreed. If I want to be your friend now, I must be able to do what you ask me to do. There's no way two of us can work together without agreement. No way. A landlord cannot give his building to a tenant without that tenant's responsibility, you know, or that tenant ready to obey the agreement. It won't work. And the same thing applies to us. Well, I mean, this morning we are talking about goodness, but goodness, for us to be good, God is expecting us to be good, and for us to be good, we need to obey God's word. We need to follow His direction, whatever He asks us to do. We need to spend time with Him in His word. The word of God is God Himself. The word of God is the heart of God. And I pray God will help us this morning. The last chapter that I want us to see is this one. I love this one too. It said, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorns bushes or figs from thistles? It said, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Amen. God is not talking about the tree that is standing out there. He's talking about you and me. But, the way of God is different from the way of man, and his mind is so, so far beyond our mind. So he's not talking about the flower you've got in your garden. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about, and I've got this just to illustrate. This is what God is telling us. Amen. Thank you, ma'am. There's no way you can pick this fruit. You know the tree that produced this fruit. What is this? Let's say this. Orange. There's no way the tree that produced this fruit to produce this fruit. What is this one? Apple. Yeah, bravo. thank you, man. The whole lot belongs to you. Still fresh this morning. And there's no way. What is this one? There's no way grapes tree, there's no way for it to produce apple. Are we getting the point? And that is what God is trying to tell us. Bless him, man. They're all fresh. You can go for it. there's no way, you know, those tree, I mean, the orange tree, when it is season, it produces orange. It will never produce apple. And the grape will never produce avocado. And that is what God is telling us. And for you and I this morning to be fruitful or to produce goodness, I mean, I might stand here and just tell us what goodness is all about, but that's not the essence. That's not the point. What God is expecting us is for you and I to produce goodness. And when you go through the account in the Bible, a lot of people, they've missed out. They miss the track. They miss the race because they fail to listen to God. The generation that God chose, the Israelites, a lot of them destroy in the wilderness because of what? They disobey God. And it's not in the wilderness, remember this, the Bible said they even built tabernacle for the name of God. But yet a lot of them they were destroyed. Meaning it's not about our work, you know, that make us good. It's not about, you know, giving things to the charity that make us good. It's about our attitude towards God and towards our neighbor. The heart is so important to God. And I pray God will help us this morning. I would like to finish with this chapter. And I'm going to hand back to the elders. When Dobu came last time, I picked the first, you know, from his talk. It's Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 to 13. The Bible, God said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I pray this morning that God will help us. I just want to challenge us this morning that what type of tree are you? And what type of fruit are you producing? Are you producing fruit that leads to righteousness, or are you producing fruit that are upsetting God? We need to think about that and just, you know, spend time with our Lord and pray about it, really. We need God. Amen. We need God. I'm sorry to say this. We did the funeral of my mother-in-law on Friday. The amazing thing, when we got into the cemetery, I saw a lot of grave. Understand me? A lot of grave, millions. It's like, Islington Cemetery, you know, a lot of them. And do you know the promise? The Bible says, our Lord Jesus Christ, the God we serve, is resurrection and life. Guess what? What are they waiting for? They are still waiting for him, you know, to come back and resurrect their body. That's the hope of we Christians. But here the Bible is telling us that for you to be resurrected, you must watch it. For you and I to reign with him in his eternal home, we must watch it. And I pray this one that God will help us. I have my own witness that I'm struggling with. You know, but it's not, like I said, it's not about, you know, bowing down or saying, good morning, sir, or stop. No, it's more than that. It's our relationship with God, you know. That is the good fruit that God is expecting from us. And I pray God will help us this morning. I'm really sorry for my struggle with the acetate. God bless us.
Thanks, Johnson. Lovely. Okay, I wonder if we just, let's just close our eyes for a moment. It's so wonderful to realize afresh that we love a God who is good. That God is a good God. And that as we come this morning to him, there's nothing evil in God. God is totally, totally good. And that the amazing thing is God isn't standing over us, as we've heard this morning, saying you've just got to be good, because God's goodness is available to flow into our lives, that we can be changed, that we can know his goodness, that we can benefit, receive, and be changed by his goodness. Isn't that wonderful? What a relief this morning that we're not trying just in our own strength and effort to be good, but that it's God's goodness itself flowing into our lives that then flows out and produces this wonderful fruit we've heard about this morning. And so I just really want to encourage us today to receive afresh God's goodness, the goodness of God, freshly into our hearts. Lord.